This Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. It is going to be a time when families are going to be gathering together with one another and visiting with one another. And most of the time, there's going to be lots and lots and lots of food. Hams, turkeys, casseroles, pies, cakes, brownies, all kinds of diet food. There's also going to be a lot of fun, is there not? When families get together, there's going to be some rest. There's going to be board games. There's going to be ball games on television. There's going to be movies that are going to be seen. And there's going to be a whole lot of fun. But what's interesting is that's not the purpose of the day. The purpose of the day is really to express gratitude, isn't it? I looked up some definitions of gratitude, and one man defined the word gratitude as follows: thankful appreciation for what an individual receives. Another individual made this statement. He says that gratitude is the acknowledgement of the good that is found in an individual's life. I love both of those definitions, don't you? As Christians, as children of God, we ought to be individuals who are constantly thankful for our blessings. We ought to be a people of gratitude every day of our lives, but sometimes we fall short in that. But because it's Thanksgiving week, we want to focus our attention this morning on this subject of gratitude. We're going to be looking at four different points in this lesson. Number one, let's talk about the Bible and gratitude. Over and over again, the Bible commands us to give thanks. We find it in the Old Testament, such as in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. For there the Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." We turn to Psalm 100 and verse 4, and the Bible says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." We turn just a little further in the Psalms and we read Psalm 136, and the opening three verses make these statements. O give thanks unto the Lord. O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks unto the Lord of lords. We turn into the New Testament. Things do not change. We are continue to be told to give thanks unto God. Notice Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul, writing to Timothy, told him, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers, or supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. My friends, the Bible commands us to be people of gratitude, to constantly, over and over and over again in our lives, to give thanks for all that we have received, for all the goodness that is found in our lives. The Bible also talks about many individuals, Bible characters, who are sincere givers of thanks. Daniel was he not? I find it interesting that the Bible says that when the writing was signed by the king that forbade him offering up petitions unto his God, that Daniel did it anyway. And the text says that he entered into his chamber and gave thanks as he had done aforetime. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave thanks on several occasions during his earthly ministry. We find, too, that Anna, the prophetess, gave thanks in Luke, the second chapter. We find, too, that the Samaritan who was healed of his leprosy went back to Jesus, fell upon his feet, and with a loud voice, the Bible says, he gave thanks unto God. The Bible also tells us that Paul was a man who gave thanks on a regular basis. One example is Acts 27, verse 35. If these individuals are examples unto us, then you and I need to follow in their footsteps, and you and I need to be people who give thanks as well. And if there were a book written today our names ought to be listed as people of prayer. Point number two, the causes of gratitude. What in the world do we have to be thankful for? Boy, the list could be endless, could it not? We could start with just the people that are found in our lives. Our parents, our spouse, our children. We could talk about our siblings, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our friends, our work associates. There's all kinds of individuals for which we have to be thankful, and especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And Paul constantly gave thanks for those individuals. We read of an example in Colossians 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I can see Paul, can you not? Withdrawing himself into his closet, getting upon his knees, and offering up prayers for those brethren and all those churches that he established in his preaching of the gospel of Christ. We also can give thanks for things, can't we? Every one of us in this audience, we can tell, has the basics, the necessities of life, do we not? There's not a one of us in here this morning that is starving by any means. And every one of us are well-dressed in our clothing. And the Bible says those two things are the essentials. Those two things are the necessary things of life, food and raiment. And my friends, we should be thankful for those. But every one of us have even more than that for which to be thankful, don't we? We have the luxuries of life. It's hard for us to comprehend not having freedom, isn't it? We were born into a land of the free, and you and I have so many freedoms that it's unbelievable that we just take that for granted. We live in a nation that's prosperous and that offers us opportunities that are unbelievable in nature. We have all kinds of technology, do we not, that we enjoy on a regular basis. And you and I can travel by car, by bus, by boat, by airplane, anywhere we desire to go, we can go. My friends, that's on top of the basics, is it not? We are a blessed people with things, and we need to give thanks for those. How about experiences? Should we be thankful for our experiences in life? Some of those experiences are just as wonderful as they can be, and other experiences are just as horrible as they can be, and yet we can be thankful for both. Joseph was he not? I can't imagine Joseph being sold into slavery, having to leave his family, not seeing them for over 20 long years. But finally they are united, and Joseph is thankful, not just that he's back with his family, but thankful for the experience, is he not? His father dies, his brothers are fearful that he's going to take vengeance on them, and rather than doing that, he says this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto the good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Genesis 50, verse 20. Standing on this side of his experiences, Joseph could look back and Joseph could see the providential hand of the Almighty God in everything that was transpiring, and he could give thanks unto God for those experiences in his life. We should give thanks for our talents, shouldn't we? It's amazing the kind of talents and abilities that are found in this particular audience this morning and how diverse they are. And what's really amazing is this. The individuals who are here don't just have one talent. Individuals here have multiple talents. Some of you are 5 and 7 and 10 talent individuals and can do unbelievable things. And my friends, it is God who blessed us with those abilities, is it not? And we should be thankful to Him for them. What about our opportunities? How many times in our lives does God open up doors to us to do certain things that we thought would never be possible? On one occasion, Paul had preached the gospel. He comes back to Antioch, and the Bible says, and when they were come, they gathered the church together. Why did they do that? Because they had something to tell those individuals. And they rehearsed all the things that happened unto them and how God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Here Paul was expressing his gratitude that he'd been able to go and preach the gospel to those individuals who are Gentiles, those who at one time were not covenant people of God, and now there's salvation for those individuals. Wow. Go back and study that trip that Paul took. And it was a rigorous, taxing trip with much persecution therein. And yet when he came back, he rejoiced for the opportunity, did he not? What about our health? One thing we can say is this, at least we are here, aren't we? We have enough strength, we have enough ability to get out of our house, get into our cars, and at least be here today for worship. There are many who don't have that blessing. They're lying on beds of affliction, lying on beds near death, suffering pain, suffering anguish, but yet here we are with enough health to be out here on a Sunday to worship our God. My friends, you and I should also give thanks for our struggles, shouldn't we? That seems crazy, doesn't it? But yet our struggles are the very things that strengthen us. Our struggles are the things that give us knowledge. They are the things that make us useful, and they are the things that mature us and develop us and cause us to be strong Christians. Paul was afflicted with what he refers to as a thorn in the flesh. And three times he goes to God and he begs and he pleads God, God, please remove this thorn. And God answers him, doesn't he? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is what? Made perfect in weakness. Now here's what's interesting. Paul could have been bent out of shape about that, could he not? Paul could have been upset at God for not answering his prayer. I want this thing removed. I want this thing gone. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Not Paul. Notice how he responds. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When God told him the purpose of his sufferings, the purpose of his afflictions, Paul says, no longer will I complain about them. No longer will I ask for them to be removed. Oh no, I'll be grateful for them and I will rejoice in all my afflictions, knowing that the power of Christ rests in me. And if nothing else, every one of us should give thanks for our spiritual blessings, shouldn't we? My friends, on this earth there are only a handful of true, genuine, biblical, New Testament Christians. Did you know that? I'm talking a handful. If you do the math, it is so minute that it's almost impossible to think that you and I are part of that group. And we possess all the spiritual blessings in our Lord. Paul writes this, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. If I had no clothing, if I had no food, if I had no talents, if I had no opportunities, just my being in Christ alone ought to be enough to offer up thanks unto the Almighty God. We have much for which to be thankful. Point number three. Did you know that gratitude manifests character? We could turn it around and say ingratitude also manifests character. But let's stay on the positive side today. When you and I bow our knees in prayer and give thanks unto God for all of His blessings, many things are revealed about us. One of these is this: a grateful person is a person of understanding. One of the things that he understands is this: I have been blessed. Whether it is with little bitty things or whether it is with great things. You see, the grateful person recognizes every blessing that has come his way. He understands that I've been blessed. Notice this. He understands too that my blessings did not come to me all by myself. Many of the blessings that I have came at the expense, the sacrifice, and the pleasure of other people who are in my life, and especially the Almighty God. The Bible tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1 verse 17. Everything that I have that is good, that is holy, that is righteous and godly in my life, God is responsible for it. And a grateful person understands those things. But notice secondly, a grateful person is a humble person. Now remember, others have blessed my life. There's some people who don't like to acknowledge that. There's some individuals who want to be proud and arrogant and say that they are self-made, that nobody has helped them. They've done it all by themselves. Not a grateful person. A grateful person knows that there's been many others in my life who have blessed me, and I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed to give them the glory, the honor, and the acknowledgement that is deserved. Did you know that the giver of a blessing is greater than the individual who receives it? I wish members of the church could understand that more. Do you know that? Today people want to be members of churches that what? Give to them, don't they? What are the programs that benefit me, that benefit my kids? That should not be the way individuals enter into a congregation. We ought to enter into a congregation. We need to ask ourselves, what can I give to this congregation? You see, the giver is greater than the person who receives the gift. What was it that Jesus says? And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse 35. Even Jesus acknowledges the fact that it's better to give than to get any day. A grateful person is also a very content person. He sees what is there instead of what isn't there. Well, that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Go to your house sometime and just walk in and just start looking around at all the stuff. That's what we call it, isn't it? We buy it, we set it somewhere, and there it sits for the next 10, 20, 30 years. There have been some things that hadn't moved in some homes for 50 years. They're just sitting there. We walk by them every day, don't we? And don't even give a thought to that thing sitting there. A grateful heart sees what's there. Isn't it amazing? We have all this stuff, and what is it that we want? More stuff. You see, this individual looks around and he says, wow, look at all of the things that I possess. And I am truly grateful for everything that I have. Paul wrote these words, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. My friends, if all we had was food in the fridge and clothes on our back, we should be grateful. Do you know that? The basic necessities of life. If we just had that, we should bow our heads in thanks unto God for clothing us and for feeding us. But we have much more than that, do we not? And the grateful man understands it. I've got gravy on my taters. Don't you? You got fudge on your ice cream. We've got blessings on top of blessings, don't we? And for that, we ought to be thankful and be content with what we have. Point number four, gratitude enriches a person's life. See, gratitude keeps me positive, doesn't it? The grateful person says this, "I see what I have. Father, I'm thankful for that." Oh, Paul was under house arrest for 2 years in the city of Rome. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? House arrest. That's better than being in a jail cell. But it wasn't that good. Two Roman soldiers were chained to him every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's wonderful. I don't know about you. If my freedom were gone, if I couldn't do what I wanted to do, if I constantly was chained to two Roman soldiers, 2 years, that's a long time, is it not? We get a little aggravated, a little frustrated, start jerking on the chains a little bit. Not Paul. You want to know why? Because Paul saw what he had, not what he didn't have. And he wrote to the church at Philippi and told them about that. Notice, "But I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have" what? "Have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." Wow. Notice what he says. "So that my bonds are manifest in all the palace and in all places." This isn't a horrible thing. This isn't a terrible thing. This isn't a thing to cry about, pout about, get down about, forsake the Lord over. Oh no. This has been a blessing. The gospel is spread into places that I would have never thought it was spread. Can you imagine being chained to Paul 4 hours a day as a soldier? You know what you got? An earful of the gospel. Didn't you? Can you imagine being a Roman soldier, picking up your orders for the week, and 3 days you're told you got 4 hours with Paul? Oh, you got to be kidding. Not that guy again. All he ever talks about is that Christ guy. All he ever talks about is resurrection. All he ever talks about is the church. All he ever talks about is the need of salvation through Jesus. That's all he ever talks about. What did Paul say? "So that my bonds are" what? "Manifest" where? "In all the palace." Folks, he's talking about Caesar's palace. Isn't that amazing? Through those Roman prisoners, Paul had access to Caesar's palace and household. Paul wasn't worried about what he didn't have. Paul stayed positive. Why? Because he rejoiced in the things that he did have. You see, gratitude keeps me what? Keeps me positive. You see, gratitude makes me understand that I'm extremely rich. It's when I start complaining and I start moaning that I live as though I'm a life of a pauper. Isn't that something? When an individual is grateful and can see the blessings that he has, he sees the rose on the road bush and he says, wow, what a beautiful bloom that is there. Not a complainer. Yeah, it's got a rose, but look, got a bunch of thorns on it too. I know a bunch of people who talk just like that. You know what? It doesn't matter what they got. The only thing they can see is the horrible. It's unreal. When you get a grateful heart, you'll get just as positive as the Apostle Paul was in his life, my friends. Because you'll see what you have, not what you don't have. Notice this one. Gratitude increases a person's joy, doesn't it? If I were to ask, how many of you in here really want to have joy in your life? Those who didn't raise your hand, we'd have to have a counseling session. Something wrong with you. In fact, the Bible even tells us, does it not, that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And yet, there are some Christians who don't seem to live with much joy in their lives. I want you to do something. Just a challenge for you over the next couple of weeks. I want you to think about five things that can be very simple, that you possess, that make a big difference in your life. I just wrote down a couple for me. I love my bed. About 8 years ago, we bought one of them Sleep Number beds. Man, I love my bed. I go visit my kids and I say, y'all's beds are terrible. I have to go sleep in hotels. Ugh. That's some of the hardest beds I've ever seen in my life. And guess what else? I love my pillow. Now, I know I said that twice, but that's what it is. It's a my pillow, and it's mine, so it's my pillow. I love that pillow. I got three of them. I got one on my bed. I got one in a cabinet. When I take trips, I got one at the office in case I forget the one in the cabinet at home. I love the comforter that goes on that bed that keeps me warm. I love how at night we can close everything in that room, and that room is just as dark as it can possibly be. And I love the fact that I'm living in a neighborhood where, guess what? When I close my eyes to sleep, I don't have to worry about anything at all. Five things. They're simple. They're easy. But you know what you need to do? You need to take those five things and you need to go to God every day in prayer and give Him thanks for those things. Simple things. Easy things. Over and over and over again. You tell God how much you appreciate those things, how much you love those things in your life because of the benefits that they provide to you. And you want to know what's going to happen after a couple of weeks? Every time you think about those things, every time you see those things, you're going to rejoice. Every time I walk through my bedroom, I say, wow, I love my bed and I love my pillow. Those things bring joy to our lives the more we appreciate them, folks. You see, grateful people are joyful people. How about this one? gratitude keeps me from envying others. In Romans, the first chapter, beginning about verse 18, Paul begins to talk about the Gentiles and the sins in which they were engaging. And he just has a laundry list of sins, does he not? And I find it interesting that in Romans 1, verse 29, he puts envy right before murder. Wow. Who would have thought that? Solomon says in Proverbs 14, 30, that envy is rottenness to the bones. Envy involves looking at the blessings of others and going, you know what? Life's not fair. Life is not just. There's no equity in this world. Look at all he's got and what I don't have. That's envy, folks. Envy. You see, envy says, look at what they have, and I don't. Sadly, our world teaches us to look at other people just like that, doesn't it? Now, here's what's sad. If we allow that to continue in our hearts, allow that kind of thinking, envy eventually says this: we're going to right these wrongs. And I don't care what it takes to do that. If it means I've got to harm you, if it means I've got to steal from you, rob you, put you down, whatever, I'll do whatever it takes to get the things that you have because I don't have them. Man. Why did the Jews bring Jesus to Pontius Pilate to be crucified? Pilate knew, and the Bible tells us, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Isn't that amazing? For envy. Jesus is getting more attention. The people are beginning to leave us and go to him. He is beginning to have more power than we do. He is looked upon now as the religious authority instead of us. And they hated that man. They despised that man. Look what he has and we don't anymore. Envy. And guess what? That envy manifested itself, did it not? Even to the point of taking the life of an innocent man. That's what they did. We'll do away with him and do away with our problem, and we'll get everything he's taken from us back. Envy. What does the Bible say? Envy is what? Rottenness to the bones. It's dangerous. Gratitude turns my eyes away from others and puts it right where? Right upon myself, doesn't it? It focuses my heart upon my blessings, and we reason like this: who cares what others have? Who cares? Just look at all the things that I do have in my life. Do you think I care if a billionaire has $1 billion? I don't care. Do I care if a millionaire has $1 million and a yacht? I don't care. Do I care if he drives a Bentley and I have to drive a Volkswagen? I don't care. Who cares? As long as what? As long as I'm looking at all the things I have, who cares what he has? Isn't that true? Now, we've made this point before, but let's make it again. Folks, listen to me. If you and I are Christians, who cares what other people have? What's important is what I possess in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. You know, there's a lot of rich, well-to-do people in the world. And they don't have one blessing in Christ, not one. And my friend, if you're a pauper and you're in Christ, you've got more than those people will ever have. Ever. And I need to see that, and I need to understand that. And when I do, I won't be jealous of any of them. You know that? Uh-oh. What have we seen in this lesson? Number one, we define gratitude. The acknowledgement of what? All of the goodness that is in my life. We've looked at gratitude and the Bible. The Bible says it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. We've looked at gratitude and the causes of gratitude, from people all the way to my spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. My things, my talents, my health, my struggles, my opportunities, all of those things are things for which to be thankful. We've looked at gratitude and character, haven't we? When I possess a heart of gratitude, I'll have understanding. I'll develop humility and contentment in my life. And when I'm grateful, my life will be enriched. I'll be positive. I'll have joy. And envy will not rot my heart. Be grateful. Be grateful, folks. Give thanks. Every prayer, give thanks, even for the little things. You and I need to be people who practice thanksgiving. And you and I always need to be extremely appreciative for everything that we have. It was funny the other day. Pulled my shoe off. There's a hole in my sock. When I get a hole in my sock, guess what I do? Throw my sock away. Both of them. Kathleen said, "You want to sew that up?" I ain't no sewing this up. You want to know why? Because I can go buy a pair of socks real quick, can I? It's not like I'm poor and can't afford socks. You used to have to go get your thread, sew it up. If it was uncomfortable, guess what? You dealt with it. Because you didn't have enough money for socks. Folks, that's little stuff. Do you want to know what? It's stuff that kids, they have no clue about today. And they're not thankful. And they're not grateful. And they're not appreciative. Thanksgiving Day's coming. Let's give thanks. If there's one verse that every one of us need to apply to our hearts this morning, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. A beautiful verse for us as children of God, for it says this: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Isn't that so true? God did for us what you and I could not do for ourselves. We need to thank God. We know about the salvation that's in Christ. My friends, if you're here tonight or this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. There's some individuals who hear the message over and over again and do nothing about it. If you believe in Jesus, if you'll repent of sins, confess the name of the Christ, we'll immerse you for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord will take you and He will set you in the body as a member therein. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Dear Christian, what about you? Sometimes rather than calling it thanksgiving, we refer to it as thanks living. Do you live your life as a blessed individual? If not, maybe you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Do you need to respond to the invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?